Father, bless these words to our hearts. Impart something to us from your throne. And Lord, give us your mind. In Jesus' name. In Hebrews 13:5, and in 2 Corinthians 1:10, so like put your finger in 2 Corinthians 1:10, and turn to Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I think that it's interesting how that verse starts. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't desire in your conversation. Let your words on earth be few, because God is in heaven and we are upon the earth. Why? Because God is faithful. I do not have to have a desire with my words, because God is faithful. Now, sometimes when words come, we have words that desire. Words that are taken and given to effect a change of some kind, whether it is a change in myself for myself, or a change in another person, or a change in a circumstance. But God says, don't let your words be with wanting, because He will never leave you. And He will never forsake you. I think sometimes when we speak out of the fear that God will leave us. And we don't even realize that this is our fear. We think that somehow, in our words, we have to keep our situation together. But this is a misconception. I can't keep anything together, because I cannot hold another person's heart together. I cannot see another person's heart. I cannot discern what is in their hearts. I do not know the deepest thoughts and the deepest needs of their heart. And I cannot touch a heart. I can touch them from the outward, but I cannot touch their heart. God touches their heart. So when I say something, I don't speak out of the fear that God will not be faithful. I speak with kindness, with confidence and boldness. Because I know that faithful is He who called me, who will also do it. Faithful is He who started a good work in me, that will also bring it to completion. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Because He is faithful. And I have boldness on the basis of the fact that God is faithful to me. And He is faithful to me in the worst of my failures. And in the greatest of my successes, He is faithful to me. The Lord is my helper. What is the result? If He's not going to leave me nor forsake me, then He will help me. And in this I have boldness. That regardless of what comes up, regardless of the way it may appear, and regardless of what my thinking or my evaluation may tell me, He won't leave me, because He will help me. And that's who He is. If I do not abide faithful, if I do not believe, then He will abide faithful, because He cannot deny Himself. Like we were talking about Friday, He cannot deny who He is. So He will be faithful. And He will help me in the circumstance. Because if He were to leave me or forsake me, He would in fact be denying Himself. He cannot deny Himself, so He cannot deny me, because I am in Him. So nothing that ever happens will be without the presence of God there, being faithful to help me. And when God is helping me, I don't have to help myself. In fact, I cannot help myself. The point where I become a little bit deceived is when I think I can help myself. But I have nothing to help myself with. So faithful is He. Notice that it doesn't say, the Lord is my helper. It does say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But it does not say, the Lord is my helper if I ask Him to help me. It does not say, the Lord is my helper if I humble myself and get right. It does not say that the Lord is my helper if I've got all my eggs in a row and I'm walking correctly with Him. It simply says, the Lord is my helper. And that's where it ends. The Lord is my helper. So He will not leave me and forsake me. He will be my helper. And there are no stipulations on this. I can do everything right or I can do everything wrong. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. He is my helper. And when He comes in to help me, then He takes charge of the circumstance. When God comes into the circumstance gets life. The mistake that believers make is that they think they can help themselves. If I try to help myself, then I am apart from the source of life. Trying to operate apart from that which understands all things, which sees into the heart. Like what you were saying, you do not see into their hearts. You simply received what they had, and it wasn't a pleasant thing necessarily for you at the time. But God is there, and you know that God is there. And that is where your strength lies. Right? In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy, not necessarily fullness of happiness. For example, the cross was not a happy place. Nobody was singing at the cross. But there was life there. And the joy of the Lord came down and won souls. The life of God, as Christ was dying upon the earth, won the centurion. The centurion was the executioner. He won his execution. That's why he was there. He was the head of the soldiers. He was the leader of those who had the authority to nail him to the cross. The Hebrews did not have the authority. The Romans did. That's why the Hebrews had to go to Pilate to get a death sentence. They could not condemn a man to die. They needed a Roman authority, and the centurion was present at the cross as the Roman authority, and as he executed the Savior saved him. Why? Because faithful is He. He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. And He will help you. Even as we execute Christ, He will help us. This is the nature of God. I do not have to fear my circumstance. I do not have to dread what's going on. I do not have to be afraid of what is coming, because He is faithful. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. And He will help me. And I can be bold in that help. I don't need to be fearful. As a matter of fact, it is a satanic deception that whispers in our ear, look at your circumstance. Doesn't this make you afraid? Look at your circumstance. Isn't this horrible? And what is our answer? No, faithful is He. He will never leave me. He will not forsake me. He is my helper. His everlasting arms are beneath me. So even if I fail in the worst of all failures, I fail right into God's hands. And these are the hands that say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. These are the hands that say, I love you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I draw you. He is faithful. Like, what is your circumstance that God cannot be faithful in it? Tell me, because there has never been one. I would be interested to know. What is it that can cause me to be removed from the grace or the love of God? Because it is beyond this universe if it is in existence. Because nothing in this universe and nothing in eternity can remove me from the love of God. So where is it that God will stop being faithful to me that causes me so much grief? You see, it's an illusion. It's like I like to say, the valley of the shadow of death is a valley of shadows. It's not the valley of death, it's the valley of shadows. As a believer, I will never taste death. I can only see the shadows. In Psalm 91, well, we just start at the beginning of the psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in this, like, think about this for a moment. Where do we dwell? Honestly, where do we dwell? Where is our life? Do we think it is here on earth? Do we think it is simply that we are seated above in heavenly places? Although, yes, we are. Is that the end of it? Where do we dwell? I don't know about you, but I think that the Spirit-filled believer does not just dwell seated above. He dwells in the Holy of Holies. He dwells in the secret place of the Most High, where God meets him at the mercy seat and they commune. This is where we dwell. You see, this is why the woman caught in adultery could come to Christ. This is why she could call him Lord as she was caught and dragged out naked in front of everybody. She was dwelling in the world, but God brought her from the world into the secret place of the Most High, where she could turn to him and say, right in the midst of her shame, Lord. She had denied him in her actions. She had denied him in her lifestyle. She had denied him in her heart after having become a believer. But he did not deny her. He said, even though you may deny me, even though you may not believe, even though you may not be faithful, I will abide faithful because I cannot deny myself. For Christ to deny her would have been for Christ to deny himself. For the Father to deny us would be for the Father to deny his Son. It's not going to happen. You see, Christ takes me in the midst of my failure, in the midst of my difficulty, in the midst of my situation, in the midst of whatever it happens to be, and he brings me into the secret place of the Most High. He brings me into the Holy of Holies. And what does he do there? Well, let's take a look. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He covers me in his shadow. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. God brings me into the secret place of the Most High and becomes my refuge and my fortress. And that is where I remain with him. Now, he did not say that he would take away those things which plague me. But he did say he will abide with me in that secret place because he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. So he takes me into the secret place of the Most High and He covers me in His shadow. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So God takes me and I'm in this situation, and what happens? What happened to the woman caught in adultery? There were all kinds of accusers there. There was a large number of people with stones in their hands getting ready to throw them at her. And He simply asks one thing, or says one thing. And that one thing was a word from God. And when the word from God came, there were no more accusers left. When the word from God came, there was no more condemnation left. There was no more guilt left. And what did He say to her? He says, I don't condemn you. Why? Because He brought her into the secret place of the Most High. She could not be condemned because she was covered in the blood of the Lamb. God cannot condemn me because I am covered in the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't matter even if I'm in the midst of the failure itself, I cannot be condemned by God. And if I cannot be condemned by God, then He will allow no one else to condemn me. He will send away my accusers. You think her life got changed? You know what? The Bible doesn't say. But I bet you it did. She went into the secret place of the Most High. And she started to abide, remained there, dwelled there, in the shadow of the Almighty. Like even the apostles, not even talking about Christ now, but the apostles, people would want to be touched by their shadow. Why? Because they knew that in the presence of God, even though it may be not the presence of God in person, but the presence of God in a man, that they could be touched and that God would do something for them. But in our case, God does not just take us into the presence of a man. God takes us into His own presence, into the Holy of Holies, sits us at the mercy seat, because that is where we are seated. We are in the mercy seat. Covered in the blood of the Lamb, under the shadow of the Almighty. And what happens there? We have a refuge. I cannot seek my refuge outside. There is no place that is my refuge. There is no physical structure that will be my refuge, and there is no person who is my refuge. Why? Because they cannot be. They are made of dirt. No matter if it is a person or if it is a building or if it is a city, it is made of dirt. But God is eternal. So if God is my refuge, then He is my refuge from the beginning to the end. God in my own heart, in my own meditations, in my own fellowship with Him, abiding in me becomes my own refuge. So in truth, I carry my refuge within my own heart. And I can turn to Him, not having to go to a place, not having to go to a person, but I can simply turn to Him, and there I find my refuge because it is resident within my own heart. It is not me, it is Christ who lives in me that is my refuge. And He is there. So I don't have to fear, I don't have to worry that I will have to go far, because He is inside me and He will never leave me and He will never forsake me. And He is my helper. And He is the kind of helper that does it all for me. I don't do it myself. He simply does it for me. So I'm in a circumstance and say, God, I have this circumstance. Help me. And you know what the remarkable thing is? He does. I say, God, resolve this for me. God, cause this to come to pass for me. God, help me in this. God, I don't even know what to ask for. That's okay. The Holy Spirit groans for me in groanings that cannot be uttered. I don't know what to say, but He will ask even on my behalf. That is how weak I in fact am before God. I can't even ask. And He says, that's okay, I'll ask for you. Why? Because He will never leave me and He will never forsake me. He is my helper. He is even my helper in the asking of the question. He is even my helper in the seeking of His help. I can't even seek His help properly. That's okay. He'll seek His help for me. That's a good thing He's a Trinity. He can talk to Himself and it's not odd. But He will never leave me and He will never forsake me. He shall cover me with His feathers. In verse 4. And under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be as thy shield and buckler. A buckler is that which supports something, that upholds something. Now He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Wings speak of authority. Just like there are six-winged and four-winged angels, those are actually signifying ranks. There are ranks among the heavenly hosts, and they are shown by wings. Well, under God's wings, under God's authority, that is where I trust. I trust in God's ability, I trust in God's power, I trust in God's knowledge, and I trust in His ability to do it. I trust in that which He can carry out. And He can carry out anything that concerns me. I simply trust in the authority that He has in my circumstance. Like, do we ever consider when we get in a bad situation, or a good one for that matter, that God has authority in that situation? And though I may be completely helpless, that His authority is still present and He is for me and not against me. And that in being for me, He will take care of it for me. Why? Because He is my helper. Why? Because He will never leave me nor forsake me. So I can hide under His wings and I can trust in the authority that God has for every single moment of every single thing that takes place in my entire life. There is not one thing in this universe that does not fall under the authority of God. There is not one event that can take place that God does not have authority over. And there is not one thing that can happen that He did not allow to happen with His authority. Why? All things are for my sake. It has taken place for my behalf. Do I understand it? No, sometimes I don't. But you know what? I believe I have been called to be a pastor in Westminster, so what happened in my own past? God, on the path to becoming here, God said, prepare to be a doctor. Go to med school. Now go figure. How do you line those two up? We were talking about this the other day. You know what got me interested in science, which brought me ultimately here? Was the fact that a pastor in our church, Pastor Vieter, went to Australia. Now, how do you line that up? He goes to Australia, I end up here because of science. To pastor here. Figure out God's plan. Go ahead. I dare you. You know, I could never figure it out. I always think to myself, okay, this must be it. I'm always wrong. I can't figure out my own life. I can't figure out my own things. Those things which are a dread to me, those things which cause fear in my heart, are those things which God has actually brought to promote me. You know what was interesting? Before I started working where I'm working, I used to teach at Baltimore City Community College. I had to leave because the circumstances would no longer allow me to stay there, although I did not want to leave. I dreaded leaving. I hated leaving. I was distraught over leaving. But I had no options. Sometimes God removes the options in our life because He's got to get us where He needs to get us. And we may not like it. It may be dreadful to us. But you know what? After the cross, there is life. Let's turn for a second to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's start in verse 9. That we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead. How many people are afraid of dying? I mean, think about it. I don't see how anybody can honestly say, well, to some extent I can, that they're not afraid. Like, you know, even though I know where I'm going, I don't really want to go there before I have to. Even though I know that heaven is awaiting me, I don't really want to go there before God says, okay, it's time. We are, in a sense, afraid of dying. We have this, right? We have this, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. God will deliver me unto death. God will deliver me unto that thing that I think I dread. And He's got a purpose in it. And it's a divine purpose that was established from the foundation of the world, from before the foundation of the world. That we should not trust in ourselves. You know why I don't want to enter that circumstance that's so hard for me? Because I want to trust in myself. I want to be able to control my situation. And when this thing is bigger than I am, I know I can't control it. I know I can get hurt there. And I don't want to get in. I dread it because I'd rather trust in my natural abilities than trust God. Now, a few years ago, there was a missionary who didn't want to be a missionary. He was called to go to Africa, and his wife and he had decided this is a scary place because all kinds of bad things can happen to you in places where you have malaria and various diseases that people of European backgrounds don't do well with. And so they decided when they got called to Africa that they were going to go to Florida instead because they wanted to keep themselves and their family and their children safe. Africa was just too dangerous. You know what happened in Florida? Both of their kids got killed. The situation that they dreaded was in fact their provision. And what they took as their natural provision was actually a dreadful situation. And then they went to Africa. Because they realized that the safest place that I can be is under the shadow of the Almighty. There is no safer place than the call of God. There is no safer place than the will of God. I don't have to dread that which faces me. I don't have to fear it. Why? Because God is there with me. He is my helper. I am in Him. And if anyone comes against me, God has no problem swatting them away. He can swat them all the way to Norway. He's got no problem dealing with people. He's got no problem dealing with hearts, and He's got no problem dealing with me. I don't need to be afraid of my situation. It may appear like death, but let's take a look what happens. That we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You see, I'm delivered into this situation. I'm delivered into this circumstance. The whole thing took place for a very simple reason. I had to be delivered to death in order to come to life. God works in the weirdest way. If I want life, I have to die. If I go for life, I'm going to die. Right? If I want to protect myself, then I have no protection at all. If I cast off my own protection and trust Him, then I'm totally protected. What sense does that make? Well, I had to pursue medical school to end up here, planting a church. What sense does that make? What sense to me does the circumstances in my life make? Well, not a lick. You know what? Had the Russians not invaded Czechoslovakia, this wouldn't be happening. Like, tell me if God takes all things and works them together for good or not. Right? I mean, in all sincerity and not meaning to be flippant, but what would happen to, you know, I know like some of your stories. What would happen if the Russians did not invade Czechoslovakia? You wouldn't be married, right? Not to me, anyway. Like, what would have happened? Tell me if you can figure out the plan of God. You know why? Because it started before the foundation of the world. This little circumstance that I am in was actually ordained before the foundation of the world and became a part of an eternal plan. And that plan has not been interrupted. It didn't start when I was born. It started when God initiated it. It started even before the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, because the Lamb being slain before the foundation of the world was in fact the place where that the plan got taken care of. So it was planned, the Lamb was slain, and then things were put into action. And it's still a part of the same plan. It's an eternal plan. This isn't something new. This didn't just pop up. This didn't just happen. This circumstance didn't come about. No, it was planned before the foundation of the world. Why? For my good. In Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. Can I raise the dead? I've never raised the dead. He's raised lots of dead. Can I depend on myself? Can I depend on my natural strength? Can I control can I control the wind? God can. But yet I'm afraid to enter a situation that God puts me in because I have no natural ability in it. Well, guess what? You didn't have any natural ability outside that situation either. There was simply nothing apparently coming against you. But let's say that something actually does come against you. What's going to happen? God will be faithful. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will be my help. And just like the woman who was accused before all those people, I'll take care of them too. God doesn't just take care of me. God takes care of everybody else around me as well, for better or for worse. God takes care of them. The centurion got taken care of as he was crucifying the Savior by getting saved. You know what? If the centurion didn't crucify the Savior, none of us would have been saved. Including him. God raises me from the dead. I die to myself. I die in the situation. And I say, God, this is killing me. I can't handle this situation. And He says, exactly. That's why it's there. Why do you think that I brought it in the first place? Because it's bigger than you are. So you can finally learn how to trust in me. And not think that you can handle things in your natural strength. I can't walk with God unless I learn to trust Him and not myself. thinking this morning. A lot of believers think that God is smaller than they are. They think that they don't think it in so many words, but really they do think it. They think that they are greater than God. They do. You see, this is why I want to trust God in my circumstance. This is why I want to rely on my natural strength, because I think, God, you won't come through for me and I will. Well, that's a deception. The exact opposite is true. God will most definitely come through for me and I can't. Like, can I change another person's heart? God can. Can I establish the foundation of the world? Can I set into motion an eternal plan? Can I save a soul? God can. Can I deliver myself from anything whatsoever? God can. You get some testimonies of soldiers in Iraq once in a while. Or you see this in more than just Iraq. Soldiers who are Christians. And they're on the battlefield and they're being shot at. And I've heard a couple like this where the bullet, the soldier knew and he could hear the bullet coming right for him. And he knew it was coming for him, but then all of a sudden the bullet turned out of the way. The soldier didn't even have time to react, to duck, but the bullet turned out of the way. God was in the situation and he had authority over that circumstance. He had authority over that bullet. Do you think time and space make a difference to God? Do you think the physical laws make a difference to God? He made them. Nothing makes a difference to God as to what is that He can do for me. Nothing is going to get into His way. Who is going to separate me from the love of God? What will cause God to be less than 100% absolutely with all His heart and life faithful to me? What circumstance is going to blow His mind? Where is He going to say, I don't know? I don't know how to handle this. I'm sorry, buddy. You're on your own. Can you imagine God saying that? You know, we actually act like He does. This is why I get upset in my own problems. This is why I get upset when something comes against me, because I think God's going to say, oh, you're on your own, buddy. I have no idea. I think He's like I am. Sometimes I think He's less than I am. God, I'm not going to trust you. I've got to handle this myself. God is faithful in the situation. God is faithful in my life. And I don't care if I caused it to come about myself, God still is going to be faithful. Even if I am not faithful, He abides faithful because He cannot deny Himself. God is faithful. In verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. This is kind of curious. He's delivered us and He's going to deliver us again. God is continually delivering me unto death so that in death I can have life. God is continually delivering me to that circumstance which is going to cause me to turn away from myself, to pick up my cross and follow Him, because ultimately I have no other options. Ultimately I get so weak, ultimately I get so hopeless that I finally give up my own flesh and say, okay, God, you do it. I can't do it. I just throw up my arms and say, okay, you do it. Fine. And God says, finally. Like, we could have started there. You didn't actually need to go through all that nasty mess. We could have actually started here, but okay, whatever it takes. I would rather take you there and get you to trust me so that I can teach you how to trust me again. So He delivers me so that He can deliver me. He delivers me unto death so He can deliver me unto life. He delivers me unto cross so He can deliver me unto resurrection life. And sometimes He allows me to be delivered unto failure so I can be delivered unto mercy. Sometimes He allows me to sin, not that He ordained sin by any matter, but He will allow it. Like, all things are allowed by God. Why do bad people do good things? Isn't that like the number one question? Like, why is it that this thing happened? Did I say bad people? The other way around. Why do bad, like, good people get bad things done to them or something like that, right? Why? Because God has to deliver me so that I may be delivered again. God will allow me to sin, although that is not His plan. It grieves Him. But He will allow it anyway. Why? Because He knows that if after I have sinned, I turn to Him, then He can deliver me unto grace. Because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Almost got that one backwards too. Can you imagine that? Where grace abounds, sin... That's the other way around. That's the way the legalists would have it. But God delivers me so He can deliver me again. God brings me to the cross so that I can have life. God adds to my life by taking away. He takes away from my life by adding. God adds His life to my life and my life goes out the window. You see, God works differently than man. God's smarter than we are. You know, I get so bent out of shape when things happen. I get so hurt or I get so angry or I get whatever. And God says, you know, I brought this so I could deliver you unto death so that in death you could find my life. I brought the circumstance so that the circumstance would bring you to me. Like, can you imagine if nothing ever went wrong? What need would we have for God? Can you imagine what obnoxious, self-righteous hypocrites we'd become? God has to show me the state of my own heart. And that is one of the reasons why He delivers me, because He has to show me the state of my own heart. Because when I see that my own heart is desperately wicked, I no longer depend on my heart. I depend on His goodness rather than my own wickedness. When I see that God loves me, I no longer have to depend on my own reactions. I no longer have to depend on my own... It's what people are doing. They don't think about it, but they are depending on their own insecurity when they try to avoid a circumstance in their life that seems unpleasant. My insecurity is going to evaluate the circumstance and make my decisions for me, as though it has any intelligence whatsoever. That's what happened to those people who went to Florida and lost their children. That was not an intelligent decision. Not to condemn them, but that was a mistake. A costly one. Had they gone with the wisdom of God, which is greater than the wisdom of man, who knows what may have happened, but it would have been the will of God. I don't kick against the pricks when God brings difficulty into my life. I humble myself before God, respond to Him in positive volition, and trust Him that He is my helper because He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. That's why I know that He will help me. Because He has authority. I'm under that authority and so is the circumstance. And I'll be hidden under the shadow of the Almighty. But He is faithful. It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter who it happened with. And it doesn't matter who did it. He will abide faithful. Because He cannot deny Himself. Amen. Yeah.